Welcome to the BJ and Bucher podcast. I am Rick Bucher. He is BJ Armstrong, and we are still in the quiet period before the NBA season kicks up and we have training camp. But there are things to discuss, as we have for the last several weeks. I have to say, BJ, before we get started, your performance on last week's podcast was golden. You hit a lot of subjects and gave tremendous insight. Pistons, Bulls, Isaiah Thomas, Allen Iverson, the Hall of Fame. You were special, and you've now set the bar there, so I expect you to be equally special this week, so you better bring it. The first thing I wanted to talk to you about was the case with Billy Hunter. He is suing the Players Association, which he was formerly the head of, for wrongful termination, suing them for the tune of $10 million. I believe that's what he still has coming. He's going to depose guys who are known stars and also executives like LeBron James and Chris Paul. And I have no doubt in my mind, from what I know about during Billy Hunter's tenure as the head of the Players Association, that he was doing some very sketchy things. I also know that he is an attorney and a longtime attorney. And this is what I've learned about attorneys that are any good at their job, is that they know where the line is. They know what is sketchy and they know what is outright illegal. And while Billy, there's questions about how he used funds, there's questions about who he hired, there's questions about how he went about his job, I wonder, when you look at how powerful he is potentially in the court of law, as much evidence as there may be that he was not serving the players in their best interest to the fullest of his abilities, whether legally he's going to end up winning this thing and it's going to cost the players $10 million.
Thank you, first of all, for the about last week. Let's move on to this week. And then that's a huge question. Like, how much time do we have? I will say this about the union, from my time as a player to my time of working in the league, for the amount of time that I have, I've always questioned the purpose of the union. I've always questioned that. Well, okay, what are they actually trying to accomplish? Is this for the players that are just coming into the league? Are they protecting the star players? Are they protecting the players who are the majority of the players? What is the purpose of the union? Clearly, the star players, the current star players, the LeBrons and the Chris Pauls and the Kevin Durants and Steph Currys, they have a different set of needs than the players who are just entering into the league.
Yes.
And also players who are on minimum contracts or aging, what we call rotational players, have a different need than the star players. And I think you and I can always agree, or we should agree, that this is a star's league.
Mm-hmm.
And the owners do not have a problem paying the star players.
Right.
They bring revenue, clearly their value of what they bring to the league. So I've always questioned, what is the purpose of this union and who are they protecting and who are they fighting for? What are they doing? So when I see these, you know, Billy and, you know, all these people before them, it's been a chaos since I've entered into this league, and I was in the late 80s. I've never seen unity with it. I continue to see a lot of talk and rhetoric about what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. But the bottom line is the players have to figure out a way to really ask what's important and what are they fighting for? Are we fighting for the cohesiveness to revenue share? Are we fighting for, you know, whatever it is you want to fight for? Let's figure it out and then go for it. Because to me, it just seems like, well, the owners want this. The owners lay out their agenda and the players, they hook and haw a little bit and then they end up caving in and then we move on. And then at the end of it, we all say, oh, God, this is a great deal. And this is why. And then we move on. But the owners continue to move forward with their agenda. So
right.
I don't know what the purpose is of the union. I would love to hear about it. I want to understand it. But honestly, I what Billy is suing him over, I have no idea.
Sure.
But it just seems to cycle year after year, time and time again. And I'm not really sure the purpose of the union is at this point.
Well, and to that end, that's what been one of my issues, is that Billy Hunter did this. Billy Hunter always looked at the agents as, You can't trust the agents. Your agents are all about serving their own purposes. You need to pledge allegiance to me. And my feeling has always been the agents know the owners and have just as much at stake as the players, and they are familiar with the boardroom and the negotiating table. This is what they do. This is what their job is. Players are more savvy today than they've been. They have more business interests. They have more experience. Why the union hasn't done a better job of engaging the agents? And what you said is exactly the issue that the players have long had. And I know with Billy, because he told me, and we talked about how do you get all the players on one page? How do you present a unified front to the owners in the way that the owners all stand behind the commissioner? Nobody steps out. I mean, the last couple of years is the first time we've ever heard anybody speaking out independent. It's always been David Stern, and David Stern says whatever he says, and all the owners are quiet behind him. And they're going to be fined to the tune of $1 million if they speak out. Those are the league rules. So it's much easier to have a unified front when you have 30 people that you have to get to stand behind one, as opposed to you're trying to keep 350, 400 guys all on the same page. I understand the challenge there. And Billy's approach was, and he said, I don't need all 350 or 400. I only need the best three on every team. In fact, I don't even need that 90. I really just need my 30. Okay. I just need the top 30 in the league. Now,
Hold on. You got to stop there.
Okay. Right.
See, that is the issue that I have with this union. This is the problem that I had as a rookie when I first started playing. This is the problem I had when I retired. And this is the problem I have now as an agent. In the end, you are exactly right. People will take an interest when they take ownership of what it is they're interested in. So you just said David Stern. For all the players who are listening right now, David Stern and the commissioner, they don't own the league. The owners own the league. Mm-hmm. David Stern and the commissioner is speaking on their behalf.
Right.
Because they have ownership and they have an invested interest on this collective bargaining agreement because it directly affects them. You're absolutely right. Whether we're just talking about Billy Hunter. Billy Hunter knows the top two or three guys, those are the only guys the owners want to play. Look how the league is set up now. Two or three guys get paid. Everyone else is either on three other contracts. You have the max contracts, you have the minimum contracts, you have the mid-level exception, and you have the rookie contracts. That's it. The owners understand that these super teams, as they're called today, you pay the first top two or three guys, everyone else makes minimum, and then you go play basketball. That's a good proposition for them. But the reality is, to put together a team when the other guys know that they want to get their value of whatever it is they bring. So that is the problem of putting together a team. So what is the union actually fighting for? Because there are more of those guys than there are stars. Right. That's a fact. So when I hear Billy Hunter and these people take that position, I go, this is about Billy Hunter. This is about those people. It's not about the players. So what I would like to see then, what I like to see now, is the same thing that any group has to do. Take ownership of what it is you're fighting for. Every player that comes into this league has to take ownership into what it is that's important to them and allow those people to know what it is. So whether it's the current leader of the NBPA or whoever it is, take ownership of the group. Because those 30 owners are individual owners who have come together with an invested interest to make sure that this gets done because it best serves them and their perspective. And until we do that, we're just talking. If he said that, and I wasn't there, if he really said that, I mean, that's just so disappointing. It just proves my point of why I'm like, why am I going to follow this guy? He doesn't care about me anyway.
Right. But here's the problem. And because I've seen this covering teams, the guy who's voted the player rep is often a young guy or a guy. It's like a job nobody wants in many cases. Now, it's changed a little bit in recent years, but for a long time in covering the league, it was if you went to the bathroom at the wrong time, you'd end up being voted the player rep, the union player rep for your team. And guys didn't want it. And it was the same attitude. It's like, Why am I paying attention to this? And I take issue with that for the same reason that we have the ills in our society and everybody wants to point to who the president is and Congress isn't doing that. And I'm thinking, how much time and interest are you putting into who you are electing as your officials? How many people are voting? How many people are trying to utilize their voice? Now, you know, I've had these conversations. I mean, the politics and the power and all of that, sometimes we are disenfranchised from that. But at the very least, if you're not doing what you can do to impact the process, then I don't know that you have a place to say, I'm upset with the results, because you didn't choose whatever small influence you may have, you choose not to exercise it. So I want to give you one more story when it comes to Billy Hunter and like how, like the first time this, it became very clear to me, like just the in cahoots. And this is why I had an issue when all of the players went kumbaya when they got rid of Donald Sterling and everybody's up there holding hands with Adam Silver and isn't he great? And I'm thinking, you just gave away your leverage. You gave away your leverage in the public eye to say, okay, how long did they put up with Donald Sterling? And how many other Donald Sterlings are there? And they're supposed to be making the lion's share of the money. We're not the ones that are disadvantaged here. Instead, it was, isn't Adam great? He just thinks about the league. And isn't it great he got rid of Donald Sterling? And I'm thinking, Adam Silver is not your friend, players. Your best interests are not the primary thing for him. The interests of the owners who hire him. That is his primary concern in the pecking order. If he's a good guy and for the good of the business, he may be looking out for the players a little bit, but only to the extent that it serves the business. So when I looked at that, I thought, this is so wrongheaded. And everybody in the media was doing the same thing. Isn't it great? Look at Adam. Look what he's doing. Look at the players. They're all together. And I'm thinking, yeah, until the next collective bargaining agreement. And then Adam and the owners are one more time going to take full advantage of their leverage over the players. And then what a great guy is Adam going to prove to be. But to give you an idea of just like the behind the scenes stuff. So the first lockout, Leonard Armato, who represented Shaquille O'Neal at the time, one of the most powerful agents, decided, you know what, this lockout's not good for anybody. Let's see if we can broker something. He invited David Stern and Billy Hunter to meet in his LA offices. And David Stern flew down from his chalet in Snowmass, Colorado, and apparently a Fox News or Fox TV caught wind of him leaving. He was on a flight to LA. They're like, what's going on? So they followed him, and somehow people got wind of the fact that Billy Hunter and David Stern were meeting. They had a catered dinner. They had dinner together in Leonard's office. The whole idea was to sit and talk, but Billy had not alerted anyone that he was missing, that he was meeting with David. And he was concerned about, okay, so what are the players' representatives? What are the executives? What's everybody else in the players' union going to say when they find out that I'm meeting with David Stern behind their backs? So all the media is waiting outside Leonard Armato's office building, hoping to get a glimpse. They had an intern. Billy was like, I have to get out of here and no one can see me. So they decided, you know what? We'll have an intern drive a car out. You can hide in the back seat down below. They won't be able to see you. Billy was like, no, that's not good enough. You need to put me in the trunk. I can't possibly have a camera, like get an angle into the car where they might show me hiding in the back seat of the car. It's a true story. So they go down to the parking garage. Billy gets in the trunk. They close the door. The intern drives out. He drives about three blocks down the street. And then he gets out and he lets Billy out and he drives back. He drives back to the building.
No, you know what? I refuse.
Leonard Armato told me the story.
I refuse to believe this. I refuse to believe this. But that's a great story. I mean, I'm trying to picture that. God, that's an unbelievable story. That's an amazing story.
This is the story, by the way, that was in a book that I sold to Houghton Mifflin. This is when I was still at ESPN. ESPN had a book division. They were pissed off that I sold this book. So they said, well, we have a book division and you're supposed to give us first rights. And I told them, our agent did. You guys turned down this idea. They're like, oh, well, we want another shot at it or we're going to fire you. And I'm like, okay. So I hadn't signed the deal with Houghton Mifflin. We just agreed. I found a way to get out of it. ESPN bought the book for the same terms, and then a month later they blew up their book division. They now own the rights to a book that they could not publish. That book's never been published. That story's never been told until here on the podcast. And I have other stories like it. Thank you, ESPN. Thank you.
Can you confirm that story? Because I'm trying to picture, like,
Leonard Armando. I talked to the intern who drove him out of the building.
Can we get him on the podcast? I got to confirm this. Because I'm thinking to myself,
yeah,
what if he was stopped by the police? And what do you say? Like, I'm trying to think of all the things that could have gone wrong here.
Yes.
What if there isn't an accident?
Yeah.
And he in the trunk.
What if the intern forgets he's back there and decides to go and hang out with his buds and Billy Hunter's in the trunk? Like,
I can't. That's an incredible story. That's a wow. That's one of those wow moments. Yep. I can't. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So we do have the season right around the corner. I'm just curious, aside from that, it's going to be a while before that issue is settled. Are there, as we go into this season, and I don't know how you approach this, if you had your top five teams that are must watch, like you are, for whatever reason, you think they're going to be the most entertaining, you're the most interested to see what direction they go, like the games that you look at your nightly schedule and you go, these are the teams that I have to check in on, these are the teams that I want to see play going into the season. This is what I'm anticipating, that they are going to be the biggest bang for my entertainment buck. Who are they?
For entertainment, well.
Or whatever, just like the teams that most interest you.
Well, this is great. I always look for teams, one, who will meet the expectations of the pressure that's put on them. Clearly, I think I want to see, can Golden State, what they're going to do.
Yep.
They're on my list too. Clearly, this is a year for them that I don't think there is anything in between championship or else. I want to see how they handle it. I want to see how they perform. I want to see how this is all going to come together. So they are for sure on my list. The second team that I find very interesting, the New York Knicks.
Yep.
I'm really excited about the Knicks because I'm really excited about this kid, KP. I mean, I think I'm a fan of KP. I mean, this kid, I think, is poised to have like a breakout year. And I think they could really do some things.
Why do you think he's poised for a breakout year?
Because he's not asked to carry a team. Right. See, the thing about young players, if you just allow them to be what they are, all I'm going to ask KP to be every night is an athlete and a role player. He doesn't have the burden of carrying a franchise. He doesn't have the burden of being the leader of the team. He doesn't have the burden of answering the questions of why we lost. That's going to go to Carmelo, Derek, and all those guys. All he has to be is an athlete every night, and that he can do. He's in a perfect position to me to have the opportunity to learn all of those things. So I'm really excited to see them. And if he continues to grow like he did last year, I think this kid is going to give them a huge advantage once playoffs come around. I'm really excited to see him.
What do you think Joakim Noah has left? Can he be a factor? I look at the talent on this team, and if there's any team that I think if he's still able to do anything close to what he was doing in Chicago, that Noah has a role on this team and can give them something that maybe they don't get from other places. But I don't know. If physically he's not right, he doesn't have the kind of game where if he's not agile and active and he's not an energy guy, I don't see how much of an impact he can have.
I've always respected Joakim Noah for this. He's a pro's pro. Joe's going to give you everything you have. You know, father time doesn't miss anyone. Injuries happen in the game. But I can assure you this. Whatever he does have, Rick Bucher, he's going to give it to you. And I respect that about him. I've always respected that about Joe. Joe contributes to the bottom line. So whatever he does have, he's going to lay it out there on the floor. So for him, I'm hoping that he's healthy. I know how difficult it is. And any player, anyone who has had injuries, they know how difficult that can be. But certainly it's not going to be for lack of trying. So he's a pro's pro, and that's what he's going to give them. And the more professionals you have on your team will always contribute on the court and off the court. So I have no problem with him being a part of that. Okay.
You have to give me three more.
Orlando kind of intrigues me this year. I like their bigs. I like Serge Ibaka. I like Bismack Biyombo. I like what they've done. I'm waiting to see what this kid, Elfrid Payton, I think this is the year we're going to find out. Is he the player that, you know,
we all thought he could be when he came out of college.
Scott Skiles seemed to do him wrong last year. I could not understand the approach of Scott Skiles with Elfrid Payton last year.
I agree. But I'm also, this is a tough kid, and I'm looking to see him take a jump in his game. Another team that I'm looking, because I always like to look at young players, is Denver. I'm looking at Denver. I'm looking at this kid, Moutier, to see if he's really going to push them into that playoff position this year. I've watched them at the end of the year. They're playing some pretty good basketball.
Yeah.
And
they have an intriguing roster, too. They have some intriguing bigs.
They have an intriguing bigs.
Nurkic and Jokic.
I love their backcourt, Gary Harris and Moutier. And I'm looking to see if as I look at the Western Conference, can they make a push for that 7th or 8th seed in the West?
Yeah.
And the last team I'm kind of intrigued with is, you know, there's a lot of talk about playoffs and all those things. I want to see what Minnesota is going to do this year.
I was wondering whether they were going to make your list or not.
Yeah, they are, because, you know, that's a big jump when you're talking about.
You don't sound sold.
I don't sound sold, because this league is hard. Making the playoffs is hard. And when you raise expectations with no experience, that's a bad combination. Mm-hmm. Now, they have a great coach who's going to raise the bar. Clearly, you know, Karl Towns had a terrific first year. Wiggins, the number one pick. They got another pick and done. You know, Rubio's there. But in the end, you got to do it on the court. I always look at teams like that to say, you know what? It looks good on paper, but I want to see, can they actually meet the expectations of what, you know, people are saying? Because now they're saying, we're a playoff team. Well, at the end of the day, you still got to go out there and do it. So those are kind of my 4 or 5 teams. I just like to see growth in players, especially young players. And so those teams, I'm really taking a, you know, they'll be on my must-see list at the beginning of the season.
I'll rip through mine very quickly. I had the Warriors. I had the Knicks. I have the Pacers because of what they did in the first round last year. You add Jeff Teague. I think Miles Turner takes another step forward. Paul George, I like the way he looked with Team USA. I think they're one of those teams quietly. I think Nate McMillan coming in, just a fresh voice. If there's Nate McMillan and his experience of developing LaMarcus Aldridge, I think that's going to help Miles Turner.
And Miles Turner, I'm telling you, he had a terrific summer at USA Basketball. That's a good call by you, Rick. I agree with that.
I'm interested to see the Cavs and how they go forward with Kyrie Irving, and how does LeBron James take kind of a step back and let Kyrie take that team over? What do they gain from their experience of winning a championship? And there's always this question, like, do they kind of put it back in, they kick it back a notch and say, okay, I mean, it would be so easy with all the pressure that's been on LeBron. He brings a championship to Cleveland. I mean, he's kind of sealed his legend now, as far as he brought a championship. Like, what more is needed there? Now it's going to have to be an internal drive to, I want to get any more. It's going to be a hunger check for LeBron James at this point in his career. I'm just curious to see how that team operates going forward. And that may be one where I see a couple games early on, and I don't need to watch them the rest of the time because I already got a feel for them. It's not must-watch every night. It's I'm curious what they're going to be like coming out. And then finally, the Oklahoma City Thunder, because the Russ Westbrook show without KD, and I believe people are underestimating that team. They're underestimating him. For the same reason, I want to see how the Warriors respond. I want to see how the Thunder respond. And I don't have Minnesota on my list. And while I am intrigued by them, it's for the reason that you said. I think they'll make strides, but I think it's going to take some putting it together. And that they're going to be a little bit like the Pelicans, where the Pelicans kind of slip in the playoffs and, okay, now they made it. Now they're going to take the next step forward. And as you said, it's not that easy. And when I don't see veteran guys there, or guys that have the experience of playing in meaningful games, night in, night out, down the stretch, there's usually a learning curve there. I would watch the Portland Trailblazers to see where they go off of last year before I'd watch the Minnesota Timberwolves. So those are my 5.
I think what we're saying is there's a lot of good basketball for us to be watching this year. I'm really excited about this year. I'm really looking forward to it. And I agree with you. I mean, there's going to be, I think it's a lot of storylines this year, and we'll be watching.
Okay, so one last thing I want to hit very quickly in the last minute or two that we have here. Joel Embiid, former client of Wasserman, No longer with. Is that a sore point? Did I just did? Was I not supposed to say that?
No, it's not.
Did you wince or did you? You're smiling. Did you wince? You're like, oh. Or were you like, you know what? That dude was a handful as is.
No, I was laughing is because the kid has like made himself relevant and hasn't played a game yet.
He hasn't done a thing.
And now he's made it onto our show and he still hasn't played a game. And it just makes me laugh.
He is like everybody in Philadelphia is saying, oh, hey, things are turning. He's healthy. He's going to be ready. And what I keep hearing is, for Dario Saric and for Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel, everybody keeps saying, if this thing is going to work, it's going to work because Joel Embiid is everything that his draft status said he would be. And if I'm Philadelphia, I'm still nervous over that fact. For those very reasons, we haven't seen him play a game. Like, even if he does become something, how long is it going to take him to get there? He hasn't played basketball in 2 years. It's not like you just get healthy. This is not like Michael Jordan taking 2 years off and coming back. This is not Derrick Rose being injured and then gets healthy and comes back. This is a guy who's never done anything in the NBA, and he's going to be the deciding factor as to whether the 76ers move forward or not. I would be nervous about that. But what I'm more interested about is you spent a lot, like, as a result of being hurt, he's probably around the office a lot, right? You probably got to hang with him more before you guys learned
about him on Twitter.
Yeah,
I got a chance to be around. He's a really funny kid. And he's a great kid. He really is. He's a great kid. And I hope for him that he does get healthy because he is a huge talent.
Right.
But
you also know this business waits for no one. And this is a man's business. If you don't know that going in, you find that out pretty quickly. And what makes him funny and what makes him enjoyable to be around also makes him susceptible to not understanding that the clock has been ticking all this time and you have to have a sense of urgency if you are going to make this happen. That's for almost anyone who comes into the league. Do you have any sense of whether he has enough of that to make good on this? Or would you still, like, is there still work to be done? Or is there still a question mark in your mind about that?
Well, you know, you're first of all talking about a kid. You just never know how kids are going to respond in pressure situations. I can just tell you what I saw. Make no doubt about it. This kid is a tremendous talent. If he's healthy, he has that level of talent. He can change a franchise. That's the physical part of it. Now, mentally, emotionally, does he have that ability now to take on the pressures and all the things that carry a franchise and put it on his back and lead him and do all those things? Only time will tell that. But right now, let's just get him to the court. If we can get him to the court over 70 games this year, just get him to the court. That is a win for him. That's a win for the Philadelphia 76ers because this kid, I want to say this again, this kid is a huge talent. Huge talent. It is, you're not going to just find bigs that can move like him, athletic like him. I mean, this kid has unbelievable upside. Now, if we can just get his talent to the floor and allow his talent to do what his talent is going to do, the future is bright for the Sixers. Now, you know, you can say that about a lot of players, you know, Bill Walton. You can say a lot of players whose career have been cut short because of injury. But I'm going to tell you this. There's never been a doubt about what this could be. And if he's healthy, oh, man, I think the league is going to be in for a treat if he's healthy.
There you go. That is all the time that we have for the BJ and Bucher podcast on the cycle. BJ Armstrong confirming that, yes, you should trust the process. Yes, Sam Hinkie.
Wait a minute. I didn't say that.
We'll have more on. We're out of time. I wish we had more time. You could elaborate, but we're out of time. BJ Armstrong, Sam Hinkie fan, big time. You've been listening to the BJ and Bucher podcast on the cycle. We'll talk to you again next week.